Merry Christmas.
Oh, right.
At least Christmas is almost over.
Holla goddamn Luya.
We got a half hour. So, what better way to end Christmas than to watch The Breakfast Club, which has nothing to do with Christmas.
At all.
Aaron, you saw The Breakfast Club, right?
Once upon a time.
Yeah, so I remember seeing The Breakfast Club years ago, and I remember liking it. I don't know if I'm going to like it anymore now.
Yeah.
You know, because there's a whole bunch of questionable things that went on in the movie, you know, regarding dialogue and action by certain characters. So, you know, we're going to rewatch it and see what we think and try to argue with our younger selves. Isn't that great?
Try not to be too social justice warrior-y and enjoy it.
You know what? I don't take social justice warrior as an insult. I fucking welcome it. If you want to call me a social justice warrior, fine. Bring it on. You know why? I will be a warrior for social... I can't even say the word. I'm so incensed. I will be a warrior for social justice all the time. Bring it on. Insult me. Call me that. Yeah. I take it as a compliment. Because social justice is a good thing. And I realize you're being sarcastic. I don't care. Anyway, this is The Breakfast Club. Oh, and if you want to donate to Aaron, because this is still... the giving season. Erin lost
her life is still a disaster.
Her life is still a disaster when she lost her apartment in a fire. So it's gofundme.com/Erin-needs-things.
It would probably just redirect to that if they didn't put
the
dashes in.
I have no idea. All right. So
Google it, people.
What we're going to do, we're going to watch The Breakfast Club. And the next thing you're going to hear, it's going to be us after The Breakfast Club talking about it. But then as a bonus, we're recording all our comments while the movie's playing. So after the review, you get to hear what we're saying in the moment. Because we're all about the moment, man.
If you're not sick of hearing us by the end of that part.
If you're not sick of us hearing right now. I'm sick of hearing us right now. So
I'm sick of hearing you all the time.
What? That wasn't funny. So anyway, so thanks for listening. And next will be, you'll probably be hearing the Simple Minds classic, Don't You Forget About Me, while we talk about what we liked about the movie, what we hated about the movie, and, what we liked and what we hated about the movie. All right, so, speak to you soon.
Yep.
And at least in the movie, they didn't explain why this was called The Breakfast Club. I guess they met around breakfast time,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, it started at 7... I'm going to hiccup. It started at 7 a.m. So, I don't know. I guess I'll have to watch behind the scenes. But I want to learn from behind the scenes what a movie means. I want to know by the movie. And I think the letter at the end, I don't think that letter needed to be written. Because the movie kind of explained it. Are you okay?
I'm thinking. I'm listening.
No, I thought you were falling asleep.
No, I'm not. Yeah. I'm actually surprisingly wide awake, which is really annoying because it's 1 in the morning and I should be tired.
Yes. So what'd you think of the movie? When was the last time you saw this movie?
I don't know, when I was in high school, I guess.
Oh, okay. So, 5 years ago is what you're saying.
Haha.
Yeah. So what'd you think of the movie? As an adult now watching it.
Yeah, it definitely shows, like, especially in the beginning, all their archetypes. And, like, I could tell right from the beginning, like, he's a bully, so he's gonna keep talking to get attention and get a rise out of people. Because negative attention is still attention, and that's what he craves. But yeah, I don't know.
Well, you can't say I don't know. You have to give an opinion. This is a review podcast. Did you like it?
No, I liked it. Yeah, I did. Yeah.
So that's a thumbs up from you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you think it was? How do you think it held? This movie was made in 1984. So how do you think it held up? You know, date-wise, you think it's outdated?
Not as much as I thought it would be.
No, I don't think it's outdated at all, with the exception of some of the music's clearly 80s.
Because it's 80s.
But as far as the message of the movie, as far as, you know, even their wardrobe isn't that completely 80s. You know, it's
her
not like...
Her nails were, though. Like, yeah, I mean, pink. I mean, like, her nails were, like, black, maybe.
Yeah.
Or, like, blue or something to the pink, but,
Right. I mean, a little bit, of course, because that was the sign of the times.
Yeah, but actually, clothes, like, you could wear those today and you wouldn't be weird.
Yeah, it wasn't like, you know, looking at it, seeing, like, the hair up, like, 5 feet or, you know, the, like, mesh outfits or anything. A movie like this, I think you can definitely show to kids today and they wouldn't be so taken aback and like, oh my God, this looks so old. You know, even the way it's shot, the way it's acted, you know, it's definitely not a stereotypical 80s movie. It's not like, I don't know, like I'm trying to think of an 80s movie, which, you know, it's not coming to me right now, but, it's definitely not one of those. So I'm trying to think as far as I was looking for something to really criticize, and I guess the biggest thing is when Bender was under the desk, what he did was definitely wrong. And they kind of played it in this movie, they played it off for a laugh. Mm-hmm. They played it off for a laugh. You can tell that Claire was angry, but it was something that she kind of dismissed, and by the end of the movie, she was with him.
Yeah, kind of like how women actually are in real life.
So what'd you think of the romances in the movie? So two romances.
Yeah.
It was between Claire and Bender, and Andrew and Ally Sheedy.
Allison. Well, what was the jock's name?
Andy.
You could tell he wanted to be like a knight in shining armor and like be all like chivalrous and like rescue her from her miserable weirdness.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he was grilling her.
So do you think that's the main reason why he was interested in her?
I guess. I don't know.
Well, what do you think?
And she was cute when she got fancied up.
Oh, okay, so that's another criticism of this. Do you think it was because of the way she looked?
No, because he was asking her all this stuff about herself, trying to make her, like, talk about things, because he wanted to listen back before she was all dolled up.
Right, so he had that emotional connection, but then, I guess when she, for lack of a better term, cleaned up,
mm-hmm.
he saw more of her, and I guess became physically attracted to her as well as emotionally attracted to her.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what'd you think of the Claire and Bender relationship?
It makes sense to me.
Really?
Because I can understand being, like, attracted to the bad boy when you're supposed to be, like, this prissy mm-hmm. girl, and, like, that's the one thing you're not supposed to be around, and that's the one
right,
thing
right.
that makes you want it more.
But he wasn't just the bad, he was such a, like, again, like, we spoke about this, you'll hear it in the commentary, because the scene where Claire approaches Bender in that closet that he was locked in, and she starts coming on to him and kissing him, the scene before that, Bender was, like, really yelling at her and being, like, very, very mean to her. And I didn't see, I don't understand Claire's motivation all of a sudden to go up to him after just him screaming at her and then all of a sudden, you know, kissing him.
It's hard to explain, but I can get it. Maybe it's a girl thing. But I can understand, like, somebody putting you down and it just makes you want them to want you more and mm-hmm. wants you to, like, come on to them more. It's weird.
But putting you down, like, not just, he wasn't, like, playfully teasing
yeah,
her.
I know.
He was, like, really saying awful things.
I don't know. It's hard to explain.
Right. So you, can you see the justification in that, in Claire coming on to him like that right after?
I can understand and relate to being attracted to somebody after they say terrible things to you.
Right.
Like, wanting someone, like, trying harder to get someone's attention or whatever after they put you down or push you away or whatever it is.
Right. So you think Claire was doing that and also as kind of a tool to rebel against her parents?
Right.
Like, what Bender said.
Yeah.
And then I also think there was a genuine, even though he did and said horrible things to her, there was also genuine affection from her. Because they got to know each other.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, maybe because I'm just a crotchety old man now, like, I don't see a justification in this. Or, like, if Claire was my daughter and I found out what the story was, I would ask her. I would say, well, why are you with this guy after he said these horrible things? You know, he was definitely verbally abusive and mentally abusive to her. And, you know, physically abusive to her, just being under that desk.
She said some shitty things to him, too.
Yeah. I mean, everybody said shitty things to everybody, but I do think Bender was the worst offender in, as far as, like, abuse goes to all the other characters. Yeah,
well, makes sense.
Andy taping the butt cheeks together of the guy. And you saw, and I saw you laughed at that when he first said it. As well as everybody in the movie laughed at that. Because it's like, oh, taping a guy's butt cheeks together, isn't that funny? But then then it went into, you know, removing the tape and what happened
to it. I didn't really laugh because it was funny to do. I was like, I laughed because it just sounded like such a ridiculous thing to do.
Right,
like, how does that even work?
So what did you think of, what did you think of Brian, the Anthony Michael Hall character?
I can definitely relate to him because I was like that.
Well, who can you relate to the most?
Kind of all of them in different ways.
Except, I think that's the point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I was a lot of different things. I wasn't just one thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and I think that's the big takeaway of this movie is that...
But probably the most would be the Brian, whatever the fuck his name is.
Yeah.
The nerdy one.
Right. Right.
Because so, I would put the pressure on myself. I didn't have a parent telling me I have to be the best. I was the one that did all the pressuring.
Right. Right.
And, like, would freak the fuck out if anything wasn't perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think Brian also had pressure from his parents, too. Like you saw his mom at the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, are you going to study? And then his sister kind of needling him, too. His little sister, anyway. Who's your favorite character?
I don't know.
Did you have a favorite character?
Not really.
Oh. I think, as far as performance... I liked Ally Sheedy's performance the best.
Yeah, I like her squeaks. Those were so cute.
Yeah, like, even though she probably had the least amount of lines out of all of them, but she seemed to have, like, any time she was on screen or any time she said things, I found myself drawn to her the most.
I did, too.
Yeah, because I said this during the commentary. She had, it was a very subtle performance, but it was subtle, but at the same time...
Expressive.
Very expressive. She managed to do two things at once, and... You know, just one of those performances where I was just like, wow, I really want to know more about her. And I think what writing-wise, what made this so good is that you didn't see more of Allison. You know, you got a little bit of her, you know. And the fact that, you know, one of the best parts of the movie was, you know, when they asked her, well, what did you do to get in here? And she's like, nothing. I just didn't have anything better
to
do.
She didn't ask her. She just said it.
Yeah, she said it. Yeah, yeah. So that I found.
I wonder if it's even true. She was such a liar.
Who knows? Yeah,
you know?
She's such a liar. But I think for the purpose of the movie, it has to be true because it's so funny. Would you recommend this movie to people?
Definitely.
Yeah. Was there anything in this movie that you didn't like?
I almost want to see what the next day of school was like for them.
Yeah. Well. That's what I think. What's good about this movie? It's the mystery of that next day.
I don't like.
I know, but what's so good is it leaves it open for interpretation. Like what did happen? You know, what could have happened in it? Yeah, who knows? Yeah. Was that the only thing you didn't like about this movie? Was there anything in it where it's just like, regardless of, you know?
Andy's jacket said Cindy.
Huh.
I'm pretty sure the name on Andy's jacket was Cindy.
Maybe that was his last name?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I thought that was weird. And I'm surprised he didn't already have a girlfriend.
I didn't notice that. Or maybe he did. Maybe he did. I didn't notice that. Yeah. So anything else about The Breakfast Club before we end this?
I'm so confused if that guy was a principal or a teacher.
No, he was a principal.
Because then why were they only talking about being a teacher?
Because he started out as a teacher.
I guess. They didn't mention why he decided to stop being a teacher and become a principal.
Well, I don't think they have to say, but
they do, goddammit.
I would assume because the money, it's funny, he said he makes $31,000 a year and owns a home. You know, Jesus Christ, it goes to show you.
I know.
Yeah. I think principals around this, I remember in a movie that I did, I played a principal, but he aged me in it. And plus, it was a campy horror movie, so I can get away with, you know, looking goofy and having my hair gray. But I researched what principals do, And I, you know, I went on the Department of Labor. This was like in 2007, I think, 2008. And back then, you know, they made well over six figures principals. So, you know, I guess in 1984 money, you know, you can make a good living. So, yep. But anyway, all right. Well, very good. Yeah, I thought I would have more of a problem with this movie. I think people took offense to Claire's lipstick trick. It's like, oh, that's all she can do. But my answer to that is that they're fucking teenagers.
Yeah.
And teenagers do, as speaking as a former teenager myself, teenagers do stupid things.
Really? You
know? Yeah. And what offends, offends is a strong word. What bothers me about TV shows about kids and movies about kids is that they're written by adults. And what adults tend to forget is that kids aren't as smart as adults. You know, they're smarter than adults in certain ways. I'm not denying that. But the conversations they have, while they're deep on one level, they don't sound like adult conversations.
Right.
And there were some moments of The Breakfast Club, especially with Bender, where he did kind of sound like an adult. But for the most part, I think the conversations were pretty spot on.
Mm-hmm.
They were they weren't talking about...
You know, shut up.
Exactly. Shut up. They called
Nobody
each other names.
Nobody I knew was in high school like that.
Exactly. So they called each other names. They argued about ridiculous things. They said mean and terrible things. And I'm not saying adults don't do this, but at least, you know, speaking from my experience from being a kid to being an adult, I remember conversations like that as a kid. We weren't rational. We didn't do rational things. We did stupid things. We did sexual things. We talked about sex. We used, oh, are you still a virgin? Or how many people have you done with? That conversation they had about Claire, how about they trapped Claire mentally about her admitting that she was a virgin. It's like, well, if you're too sexual, you're a slut. But if you're not sexual enough, you're a prude. And then they said something else about, you know, they even mentioned that trap there, and which is true. But I don't think, as kids, at least when I was a kid growing up in the 90s, we didn't mention that trap. We just mentioned, oh, well, you're a slut or you're a prude. And, you know, we didn't acknowledge how stupid that was and about how no matter what answer you give was wrong, you know. It was just one of those things, you know. And there were different labels as a woman and different labels as a guy. So if you didn't get laid as a guy, you were a fucking wimp and you were weak.
Yeah.
But if you got laid as a woman, you were a slut. So it's like, well, someone has to be a wimp and someone has to be a slut here, you know, because someone's having sex with, people are having, kids are having sex with one another, but it's just different labels for depending on what sex you are or what social status you have in the high school hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think one of the best parts of the movie I found was the conversation they had when they really started to get to know each other, and you saw the empathy building. The Emilio Estevez monologue, where he showed empathy for the kid whose butt cheeks he taped together.
Yeah.
That was very important, and you saw how they started to see each other, and what took that was the fact that they were locked in this room together, and they wouldn't be able to see that within themselves when they were out in the real world, because it'd be too embarrassing.
Oh, yeah.
So... that I found real, and that's why I think this movie holds up, because that realness is there. And, you know, aside from a few, you know, saying, you know, the F word for gays, I don't even want to say it, because, like...
Really?
I really don't, because even saying it in a certain context, you know, I guess the older I get, I don't want to give that word power, and there's no place for me to say that word.
Okay.
Even though if I say it in this context, I'm not being mean and I'm not being offensive by saying it, but just saying that word now, especially, you know, being a white heterosexual male,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to give the word that power it comes from. Now, People can call me a social justice warrior. People can say, hey, man,
like, I can't say the N-word. I can't.
Yeah. Like, well, exactly. It's the same thing.
Like, I choke when I start to try to say it. It's weird.
But even with quoting something or even reading something like Tom Sawyer, like, I realize context matters. But even saying that and that, it doesn't feel right. Or saying the R-word. You know, I had a job for at least a couple of months working with people with disabilities, and I can't tell you how much that word hurt them.
Yeah.
You know, and a word like that was used clinically in the 70s.
Right.
You know, and it just shows how words change. But, you know, that scene on Bender's locker, he said, open this locker and you die, and using that word as an insult. I said this during the commentary, and I'll say it again. You know, in when I was a kid in the 80s and then coming of age in the 90s, that word was used to call somebody a wimp, but it also equated being gay to being a wimp.
Yeah.
And what I love so much about now is that, okay, if you're gay, you're gay. You know, and of course, gay people still
get some shit.
Oh my, but they not, get a lot. Not, they yeah, get a lot of
especially
shit.
Especially not around here.
Yeah. Well, we're from New York too, so we're kind of spoiled.
In New York, I'm like, yeah, gay people like wear that shit on their shoulder. Like, look at me, motherfucker. I'm probably cooler than you.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so, I wish I was a gay guy. Anyway.
Yes.
I had some more gay friends, I guess.
Right, right. But you know, we couldn't say that in the 80s. We couldn't say that because, you know, we would be seen as, oh, I can't believe you're friends with this person. Kids, there were no out kids in high school. We had ideas of who was gay and
like,
who was...
Like, I swear to God, like, the first, like, 2 months after I graduated, like, all these people came out that I had no idea. I'm like, how many of these people I had a crush on and they it turned out to be gay? I'm like, what is wrong with me? Like, my gaydar is broken as fuck.
Well, listen. But you know... That's the point, though, like, and especially we would say, like, oh, that's so gay, just meaning, oh, it was silly, you know, or it was abnormal.
Well, back in the day, gay went, like, happy-go-lucky more.
No, it didn't. Well, no, back in the 80s.
Well, have a fun, happy time. That's before
it became stereotype. Well, that was, like, in the 30s and 40s. I'm talking in the
80s and... We're bringing it back.
In the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, I know.
It was an insult, you know, and it's... At least in New York, it's not that. Now, or if someone wants to be politically incorrect, if someone wants to try and shock people, if someone wants to troll people, they'll say it. You know, try to get a rise out of people. But the people who say that know they're wrong. They're just doing it to try to...
Some people do it and don't realize it.
I guess.
Like, saying something so lame, they'll say that's so gay.
Right, right.
And that's usually people that are older that, like, grew up back then when that was, like, used more often.
Yeah, I know. But you can't use that as an excuse anymore.
I'm not saying it's an excuse. Yeah. I'm just saying it's part of your vocabulary. And you, if you don't, like, work on it and stop doing it, it's going to always be there.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's something that's conditioned. And, yeah, you know, there are people who still have to... You know, because they're so used to saying it, they'll say it, but they don't necessarily mean it. Saying those words, you know, it's just something that people are so used to and that they'll say it without even thinking sometimes because it was just something they used growing up, you know? Yeah, it takes a while sometimes to try to drop those things. Or even, like, something, you know what I try not to say? Like, if there's a group of people, like men and women, and people say, hey, you guys... Get over here, you guys. I see that at work all the time. You know, men and women say it in this movie. People would say, you know, there were two women there and they would say, you guys. And even with that, you know, because guys mean men.
That's a New York thing, though, especially.
Like, is it a New York thing?
Well, that's like when you look at some like entomological little like article.
Hang on while things. I Google entomological.
You know, they'll say like, what is this region? Here's what every different region of a country calls a group of people. And, like, down south, it'll be y'all. And in New York, it'll be you guys. And in whatever the fuck, it's something else, you know?
Right. Yeah, I don't know. But still, I mean, guys mean men. So, like, at work, when people come in, I don't say you guys. Say hey, everyone. You know, I try and do that. Or hey, everybody. Or even, like, if there's two men, I'll say, hey, you guys, because they're guys. But if there's two women, I won't say, like, hey, ladies, because I find that, hey, ladies, say, hey, girls. I wouldn't say that. I would kind of say, like, hey, you two, or how are you two doing? So I wouldn't say that. So I try. I do my best with these kind of things, because I do think, you know, I wouldn't have thought this, like, 5 years ago, but I do think the language that you
use and
works that you... Oh, I'm so woke. I do think language matters, and, you know, I do my best to try and to try and do that. But,
words
you know,
matter.
No one can be perfect. And if someone gets something quote unquote wrong, to jump down their throats, you know, isn't good either. You know, you can explain why what they're saying is wrong, but to insult them, isn't the right thing to do. It's trying to use compassion over, you know, becoming a bully yourself. So, and going back to the Breakfast Club, it's kind of what they did. You know, Bender especially treated everyone horribly, and they gave reasons why he was an abused child, even though he's like 40 years old in the movie. He's an abused child, so he's going to lash out at people. Because that's all he knows. But you can kind of see the redemption at the end. Even though I wish they would have worked on him a little more. They would have worked on his redemption a little more instead of like, oh, I'm redeemed all of a sudden.
Right.
I wish there would have been more seeds planted so the redemption kind of made sense there. The movie needed to be a little longer. But maybe we'll watch like they had there's some... I bought The Breakfast Club, and I think it was Fast Times at Ridgemont High. I was at Target, and they were both, like, $3 each or something. And I buy DVDs or Blu-rays, not necessarily for the movie, but because of the extras, and there were some extras in there. I think there's a Breakfast Club documentary, so maybe we'll watch that after I get something to eat, because I'm finally hungry after eating so much at Christmas.
Yes.
I was so hungry at Christmas that my uncle brought potatoes, and I started eating those. Then I got full of potatoes, and then my mom made vegan lasagna. You notice how I had to say vegan because I'm so pretentious. Ha, 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 ha. I'm a stereotype. Ha.
And I made banana bread.
Oh, Aaron's banana bread is amazing. But I was so full that I was so full, but I still ate the lasagna anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, but now I'm finally getting hungry. So, anyway. Do you have anything else to plug, Aaron? Do you want to plug your GoFundMe page again?
Sure.
All right, well...
I feel like such a shit asking people for money.
You're not... I mean, you're asking people for... You're not making them pay. Listen, you need some things. No one's twisting anyone's
arm.
Dude,
I literally blew, like, so much money at the store the other day just getting, like, pots and pans.
All right, well, you need pots and pans.
It's ridiculous.
You need things.
Know,
listen.
It sucks.
Anyway, so Erin lost her apartment in a fire. She's staying with friends right now, but, you know, she's in the process of looking for a place. She needs money to get some things, so if you have the means to give, you can donate to Erin at gofundme.com/erin-needs-things, and you can follow Erin on Twitter at Erin, do you want to say?
E-R-U-N-U-E-V-O. Erin Nuevo.
Yep. And you can follow me on Twitter at Mike Lane Act. That's MikeLaneAct. You can email me at MikeLaneAct@yahoo.com. You can, what?
I swear to God, the air conditioner's on.
It's God. You can find me on Facebook. In between, she interrupts my plugs. I can't believe
whatever.
This woman.
Everybody already knows where to find you.
No, they don't. That's why I have
just
to tell
Google
them.
Mike
Erin,
Lane.
You have to. Google Mike Lane. There's 1,000 Mike Lanes. Anyway, now that she's leaving the room, I can say my plugs in peace.
Oh.
Shh. It's 1:30 in the morning. I don't want my landlords to yell at me. Mike, where am I? At Mike Lane. Facebook.com/MikeLaneActor. And please comment, share away on Podbean, iTunes, Apple Podcasts. I don't even know if it's iTunes anymore. Stitcher, YouTube, all that good stuff. This is on Christmas, so... for those who celebrate Christmas, even for those who don't, I don't celebrate Christmas. I'm an atheist. Christmas is my family. We all get together and we open presents and we eat and we hang out. It's a day for families to get together. That's what the holiday season is. It's Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. If there's no podcast before this, if I don't upload this before this, have a happy new year and, do your best to try and take care of each other. All right. So, take care, everyone. Have a good one. And until the next podcast, have some breakfast. Have a good breakfast, a good hearty breakfast, and join a club. Or not. Who gives a fuck? I certainly. Well, I do. I'm going to take that back. I do. I do care. I care about you all. Even if you're an asshole, I care about you. I'm turning over a new leaf. All right. This outro is way too long.
Are you still talking?
I am. All right.
Jeez.
Goodbye.
Oh.
would help.
All right. I'm pressing play.
God. No signal.
Oh, fuck.
It broke.
I think it turned off.
Yeah.
Begins with Don't You Forget About Me. And it will end with...
Does it end with a two?
Yeah. It's like classic. Classic ending. It's a great song. Huh?
Yeah, I don't hate the song. I usually don't like this genre or this time period of music, and I don't hate the song, which is surprising.
Yeah. I used to not like it because it reminded me of better times, but now I can like it. Now I can like it again.
Better times.
Yeah, just remember, yeah, better times in my life, yeah.
I'm like, is that a movie?
No, not when the song came out, but just it reminded me of someone.
Oh, right. Hashimoto. That's a syndrome we don't want.
Mm-hmm. Well, back when movies had long credit sequences. I'm against the long credit sequence. We don't need
to. I'm already
to,
bored.
Yeah, we don't need to see this.
Like,
we don't need
now.
To see this. We can save the credits
this
to the
like
end.
It's like coming to your seat time. Like,
yeah.
Like, oh,
I mean,
shit, I want to get popcorn.
It builds anticipation, I guess, but I don't need to build... You know why I don't need to build...
Makes me tired.
No, you know why I don't need to build anticipation? Because there's already like a half hour's worth of previews. So, that builds anticipation.
Do they have it that way, that back?
Oh my god, when we saw Star Wars, it was a half hour worth of preview.
Oh my god, seriously?
There you go. Oh wow, I don't remember the David Bowie quote before that. That's another person I have a problem with. I mean, because he allegedly had sex with an underage girl. Groupies. He denies it, though. Oh. Yeah, that was the 80s. The F word for gay people. That for those who didn't grow up in the 80s, and for those who watched a romanticized version of the 80s from shows like Stranger Things, that F word to describe gay people, and you know what that word is, was used so much. And it wasn't even...
In the 90s, too.
Yeah, in the 90s, too. And so it wasn't even used to describe that you were gay. It was used to describe that you were a wimp. But that doesn't excuse it, because people were calling each other gay all the time because... Back then, people thought that being gay was a disadvantage, and that meant you were weak.
We need to rewind it, because I have no idea. Like, I missed the entire, like, whatever Molly Ringwald was saying. Was
fine, we'll rewind it.
Because you keep talking.
Because this movie's anti-gay. It's not like the movie was anti-gay. It was like the 80s were anti-gay. And gay people were... I mean, gay people are still very much oppressed now, but not as oppressed as they were in the 80s. You know, there's still a long way to go with gay rights, but it was especially bad back then.
I didn't realize that pattern was around in the 80s.
What?
Of his scarf.
Oh.
Because I see that on stuff now. That's stupid. Why can't you study in detention?
Because I guess that would, you have to be bored. Did you know he's Charlie Sheen's brother?
Yes. Our old school is going to give a scholarship to discipline. What do you mean was?
Is. They're still alive.
The resemblance is uncanny.
Yeah. But he also looks like Martin Sheen.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Yeah, I know, but like, you know, certain angles, it's like, oh, there's Martin Sheen.
Yeah, he looks a lot more like Martin Sheen than... Yeah.
Well, the oversized leather jacket. You know, he looked like 25 years old. Judd Nelson.
Mm-hmm. He looks like he could be in the Sheedy family too, actually.
Judd Nelson?
A little bit. Mm. A little bit. Like, he looks a little bit like Charlie Sheen right now.
Like, Anthony Michael Hall, I think, was, like, legit 15, 16.
Really?
And you can tell just by looking at him. But I think the rest were... He might have been a little older. Mm. I gotta check the ages. Judd Nelson was around 23. Single word repeated. Molly Ringwald and Anthony Michael Hall were around 16.
She looks older.
You'll learn. Yeah. Emilio Estevez was around 22. And Ali Sheedy was around 22.
I'm surprised they don't have anybody, like, sitting in there in the room with them the whole time. I mean, that would be punishment for the teacher, but they can grade papers or something, I'm sure.
Mm. I hope the principal gets overtime. Oh, it's so relatable just sitting there. Ugh.
Yeah.
The times I had in school being so bored. Like, didn't the teachers know how bored we were?
Why is he not setting off the smoke alarm?
I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to get bored often, but when I did, it was so painful. Like, even now, I can't... Like, if I sit in a waiting room for more than 5 minutes, I'm ready to claw my face off.
That's why I have something to read, or a smartphone.
It doesn't matter. I still get bored.
No. If I have something to read, I'm fine. I can sit there for a while. Yeah,
occasionally I can handle it for about 10, 15 minutes if I have something to read.
Well, now you can just watch something on your smartphone.
Assuming it actually works. Nothing to do when you're locked. Oh my god, card catalogs.
Yeah. Speak for yourself. Dewey Decimal System. Transistor Radio. This is set up almost like a, like exactly like a play. I want to see a picture of a
guy with elephantitis. It's just so interesting how every single person is, like, so off the book from an English class of how an archetype should be of that character.
Mm-hmm. Prince.
You should not...
Sushi?
Yeah. Should have kept it cold.
Right.
What the fuck is going on?
He's training.
Yeah, but usually they're weight cutting, too.
Yeah. He does have meat on
Saturday.
You're
not allowed to eat when you're in season and wrestling. Took some sugar with your sugar? Jesus Christ.
And when I was in junior high, Pixie Sticks were sold like drugs. Oh my god, kids love them.
Yeah, we go to the candy store all the time. I would literally buy a movie theater sized box of Mike and Ike, and I would get a headache from the sugar, and I would keep eating it anyway. I'm like, this is giving me a headache. I'm just going to keep eating it anyway.
Oh, it's Captain Crunch.
Dude, that's disgusting.
That's actually... I would eat that.
Pixie Sticks and Captain Crunch
sandwich?
Oh, yeah. Sandwich.
In between bread? I would take Doritos. I would eat Doritos between bread.
Oh, my God. Doritos on a bagel are the greatest thing ever. Cream cheese and Doritos are, like, made for each other, but only Cool Ranch. My bagel store used to make, like... I forgot what they called it, but they would put Doritos on a bagel. It was amazing. Because everybody would ask for it. So much rage.
Yep. It's like the Saturday Night Fever... collared shirt on. I mean, it's a punishment for the principal, too. He has to spend this Saturday there.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope he's getting overtime. He had a guillotine in his locker.
Drugs. Drugs.
Drugs.
Now, John Hughes, who wrote this, also wrote Weird Science.
Mm-hmm.
And the joke that Anthony Michael Hall made about having... Well, not the joke. The line he said about his girlfriend being in Canada, that was actually continued... in Weird Science. Anthony Michael Hall's character said that too. So no, she's in Canada.
Right.
So it was Weird Science was a callback to The Breakfast Club.
Oh, okay.
Same writer.
Makes sense.
80s montage. Too busy looking for coffee.
Or dancing shoes.
This is like total 80s montage.
Yeah.
Total 80s music. I wonder what high schools are like now. I haven't been in one.
I know, right?
In, like, since high school.
Mm-hmm. He has two different shoes on.
Yep.
He didn't have two different shoes on before.
He put, let me see what's, his boot is on the floor. He put a sneaker on.
Okay. Where the fuck did he get a sneaker?
I don't know. He probably went in the locker room. Judd Nelson is way too old to play this role.
Yeah, he doesn't even look like a high schooler.
Yeah.
Because he's scary and threatening just like his father, who beats him and abuses him and has been since he was a kid. And there's the whole reason that he's so fucked up.
Yeah, but you think the principal cares about that?
No. Just saying. It's like psychology 101.
He, like, sexually assaulted her under the...
It's like, it's funny how the one person, the one character, I thought Ally Sheedy would want to be the one to do it. Of all of them. Wow. That's completely unrealistic.
What?
All that smoke in there?
Yep. Well, I guess they're doing it for effect. So how do they get the smell out?
I guess it doesn't matter. I don't know. What the fuck? Is there PCP in that? Like, what the fuck, man? Nobody does this. Oh my god, Roy Reed's much?
Get a fake ID so I can vote.
Are you kidding me?
See what's in my bag?
Go to jail for a long time for that.
That's a lot of tampons. Like, a lot. That's before anybody knew what Afghanistan was.
No, Russia was fighting the war against Afghanistan, and we were supplying Afghanistan with weapons.
Oh.
And one of the leaders of that rebel group against Russia was Osama bin Laden.
If it wasn't...
Yep.
Parents messed a lot of things up.
I thought he was a principal.
Oh, shit, man.
Well, he probably started out as a teacher.
I think they're drinking Schlitz. Oh, PBR, my bad.
I wouldn't count on it.
Mm. She's the best Ally Sheedy. Her face is...
Yeah,
She's so subtle, too, but she manages to be subtle and expressive at the same time.
The lipstick is not the same color as the lipstick on her lips. Oh. Like, at all.
That was great, Claire.
I was gonna say, if you had a gun in your locker, you'd be in jail right now, not in fucking detention.
That's why it was a flare gun.
Yeah, no shit. Did Claire say what she did yet?
At the beginning, her father said that she cut class to go shopping.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
This is like 80s instrumental music.
But how is the guy not hearing them right now?
Huh?
How is the guy not
hearing? Well, he's in the basement with the janitor.
Oh, right. I forgot. They're hanging out.
So the archetypes that you mentioned,
yeah,
that were so stereotyped there, with the brilliance of this movie, is that they're coming together now. And it shows the different sides of everyone. Yeah. So no one's stereotypical. It's just like that on the surface. They all have these
right.
different levels.
Once
of
their walls come down.
Exactly.
A little bit. Yeah.
And the fact they're going stir crazy because they're all locked in this one room.
Yeah.
You know, shit starts to come out, and you really get to know someone.
Yeah.
And what Claire was saying exactly right, and what Brian was saying. Come Monday, things are going
to
be different.
Exactly. Yeah. They're all going to go back to their.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because those are the different social structures they have, and the different.
Yep.
Gangs and
they
cliques.
They maintain their image.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been in situations like that where it was the same thing.
What?
I've been in situations where a lot of people from different groups bonded over an evening, and then, you know, come Monday,
yeah,
we didn't know each other anymore.
I was able to kind of drift through different groups.
Oh, I didn't have a group either.
Yeah.
Because I was in all honors, but I was also a varsity athlete.
Right.
And I had all my friends, half my friends were in the drama club, so I was a floater.
Yeah, I was a floater too. I mean, if you looked at me, I was a metalhead, because
mm-hmm.
I had a mullet and I wore Metallica shirts, but I also played football and lacrosse.
Yeah.
But my grades were pretty good too.
Why the fuck is he in there?
Remember he...
Yeah, but didn't he know, didn't What's-His-Face know that he came out of it?
No, remember he said, what's that ruckus?
Oh, right.
I think a criticism this movie got is, you know, now that she's cleaned up, he, you know...
Well, you could tell he kind of had a thing for her before, though, I guess.
That's what I was going to say. He was starting to bond with her more. But I guess when her appearance changed a little bit, he, you know, I guess maybe became more physically attracted to her. But you can tell he was kind of bonding with her to begin with. So I don't know if the message of this movie is, well, if you just look better, people will like you more. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And this was kind of a stretch, because the scene before this, he was fucking railing into her. You know? He was really... Like, I don't know how Claire... You know, was that a jump? Because he was really insulting her a couple of scenes before. Why would she walk into the closet and start coming on to him?
Because she's... Because she's not supposed to be with a guy like that.
Yeah, I know, but think of the scene before. Like, what is her motivation to all of a sudden start kissing him?
Because it's like negging. You know how, like, you put someone down and then it makes them want you to like
yeah,
them more?
But I
didn't
even... But from the transition from that scene to Claire being interested in him, they didn't explain it. That was she just... Right? The scene before that was... He was really screamed at her. And all of a sudden she starts kissing him?
No, they're holding hands. Give me a break.
Who? The Emilio Estevez?
No, yeah. That's some bullshit.
Yeah, they... Like, the romance, they... It wasn't fleshed out enough. You saw hints of it?
Yeah.
But it wasn't enough. Like, there were seeds, but it wasn't enough. So,
where the fuck did she get that shirt from?
It might have been in her bag. So it was almost like this movie had to have a romance.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of obvious it would happen.
It was obvious because it's just the predictability of movies, but it was too much of a jump. You know, but there were so many great moments in this movie, but, you know, some kind of unrealistic ones and, you know, too many jumps.
Really, they're making out in front of her dad's car, I'm sure.
Well, remember the dialogue
they
had?
Right,
yeah. Yeah, he's way too old. I think he was 25, but he looks like 30. Mm-hmm. Now, back in the 80s, guys were only allowed to have earrings in their left ear or else they'd be considered gay. Mm-hmm. Oh, Emilio Estevez got top billing.
And congrats, Emilio, on the top billing. I just want to add one more thing before I go, making this, like, my outros even longer. I forgot to mention during the review that I find it wrong that Molly Ringwald was 16 during this and Judd Nelson was 25 when they made this, and they kissed in it. So I don't know the legality in California that whether a 16-year-old can make out with a 25-year-old, but ethically it's just wrong. So I just wanted to point that out, and I also wanted to point out that the scene where Bender was under the desk before he sexually assaulted Molly Ringwald's character, there was a crotch shot, but from what I've read, it wasn't the woman wasn't Molly Ringwald. It was Molly Ringwald's body double because Molly Ringwald was only 16. So those were two things I forgot, and because it's my podcast, I can point those out. So thanks for listening once again, and once again, I will give the plugs. So you can follow Erin on Twitter at erunnuevo, that's E-R-U-N-U-E-V-O on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at Mike Lane Act, that's M-I-K-E-L-A-N-E-A-C-T, on Facebook at Mike Lane Actor. Please comment, share on Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Stitcher, and I also want to give Erin's plug for her GoFundMe. So it's I'm trying to pull it up as we speak. There it is. It's gofundme.com/Erin-needs-things. So she can use your help if you're able to help because she lost her apartment in a fire. So once again, thanks for listening, and until next time, bye!